New York on April 5th, 1979.
We can start with this prayer again, that the person praying is praying to his spiritual master. Everyone has a spiritual master who's in the spiritual line, who's praying factually to God. He has a spiritual master, so he prays to his spiritual master, thanking and praising his spiritual master for having opened his eyes from the darkness. So, the spiritual master is described in all the shastras. We have in our line spiritual masters like Narada Muni and Vyasadeva and the recent acharyas. But every spiritual master has disciples. As there are great spiritual masters, there are qualified disciples. Narada Muni, being a spiritual master, means we think of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, or for that matter, Vyasadeva. He was the disciple, then becomes a spiritual master. And when we think of Shukadeva Goswami, we think of Maharaj Pariksit. When we think of Lord Chaitanya, we think of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, many, many. And as there are qualifications for the spiritual master, so there are qualifications to be a disciple. So the first qualification is that one inquires from the spiritual master. Although everyone should take to Krishna consciousness and inquire into spiritual life, therefore everyone should take a spiritual master. If one isn't prepared to, then one shouldn't waste the spiritual master's time. Or we say he shouldn't waste his time. Meaning if he's interested in sense gratification, then it is a waste of time. Is falsely inquiring into inquiring of the spiritual master or inquiring of him for material things, because the spiritual master is not meant to benedict materially. So, but one should inquire and one should not waste his time. That means he has to come to the point of understanding that he's suffering a material life and needs help. Such a person is a human, qualified human being. First become a human being. Otherwise, There's no question of guru. At Janami, Janami, Sabe Pita Mata Pai, Krishna Guru, Milay, Majahari Ai. Every species of life has mother and father, but human species, there should be guru. A human being, I have to first understand I am in trouble. I have to get out of this material suffering. I have to find out how I can do this. So, we may consult books, we may consult shastras. And if we consult the shastras, we are told that we should also approach the person and inquire from him. Studying and reading will not be sufficient. We have to approach a person in knowledge and ask of him. Why is not reading sufficient? Because the questioning has to be accompanied with our personal surrender. And also, it has to be a personal relationship in which we can put our own questions. We had the example of Sanatana Goswami. He had his particular situation. He was a great Brahmin, born of a nice Brahmin family. Then he associated with the Muslims and became contaminated in the social context from his original Brahminical position. At least he felt like that. Then when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he approached him. But from the worldly point of view, by associating in government society and learned society, worldly learned society, he had become very much highly regarded because he had learned different languages and he was a powerful, influential man. So he was called by his associates as Pandit. This was his particular situation. So he approached Lord Chaitanya and put his case. Nij jati nij sangli patita adam kubishaya kupipari ganayana janama. My birth is very low. My association is abominable. I am, in fact, been wasting my whole life in this well of material sense enjoyment. I wasted my whole existence. And, however, I've got some reputation that I'm a Pandit. And although I know I'm so unqualified, I'm also possessed of false ego and pride. And when people call me Pandit, I accept it. So just see my position. And it is not out of a false humility that I say I'm not Pandit. Because what kind of a Pandit am I? I don't even know who I am, actually. I don't know why I'm suffering. It's the threefold miseries. Why am I being subject to punishment? I don't know. Of course, this is Pandit, to be able to even ask such a question. Most people, if something happens to them, if they're in an accident or there's some disease or reverse in their personal life, they cannot question so deeply. They just think, oh, that person who cheated me, I'll never get in a situation like that again. Or I'll get the person who did that, or good thing I had insurance, or I'll go to a different place, I'll go to the hospital, I'll get fixed. But he's asking to the root, what is my being, what kind of a existence, what kind of a being am I that all the time I'm having trouble? Does this have to be? Of course, not just this trouble of having a disease, that to get cured of that, that's nothing. Because I can get another disease. Why do I have to suffer at all? And who am I? Kiyam. Who am I that I have to suffer? So such a person, he's really inquiring from a spiritual master. And a spiritual master, he cannot give an imaginative answer to such questions. He has to answer according to the Shastra, to the Parampara. But there are solutions to these questions. So as a disciple who does not inquire continually how to make advancement in spiritual life, how to get out of material life, is not worthy of the name. He must be inquisitive. Brahmagijñāsa. You must inquire, what is God? What is myself? What is the cause of existence? What is my purpose in life? We have the most qualified disciple in Parikshit Maharaj. If he were not such a disciple, we would not have the cream of Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the topmost of all Shastra. Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam consists of the inquiry of Maharaj Parikshit. He also had to not just consult books, but he had a particular situation. He was a great king. And by fate or providential arrangement, he was cursed to die, although he was a great devotee and a king. Cursed to die within 7 days. So he went to the Ganges and inquired from different persons. And then, with the arrival of Shukadeva, he accepted him as his spiritual master and he inquired from him. He asked Shukadeva, please tell me, what is the duty of a human being in this life? And particularly in my case, duty of someone who's about to die. Now, the disciples' inquiries are so deep. We are speaking of what is the most qualified disciple. So the most qualified disciple, his inquiries are entirely personal in terms of his difficulty in material life or his desire to know Krishna. That although they're personal, they apply to everyone. He does not ask just something material blessing. Please see that my family comes together. Can you tell me about the political situation? Can you tell me about the economic situation? Can you tell me where I can get a buy on some product? I'm having difficulty with my sex relations. Can you tell me how to improve this? He is not a mundane person to inquire from. This is what we say, don't waste time. But he asked the question. He was going to die, so he said, what is the duty of someone who's going to die? But everyone is going to die. So that question applies to everyone. So when someone like Maharaj Parikshit asks the question, everyone becomes attentive to hear the answer from Shukadeva Goswami. And questions are like that throughout the Bhagavatam. Inquire means also hear. You don't just inquire and then you cannot pay attention. When the this is like the person who challenges. There's no real inquiry. He wants to show off his own power of debate, or he's not really a disciple. And so when the spiritual master is replying, he's not even listening. No, he has not learned how to listen. That's the sense of inquiry, if you can't listen. So inquiring means he hears. So Maharaj Parikshit, he heard so nicely. Arjuna also. Sometimes in the hearing, they do not understand something. Sometimes they have even doubts. But being submissive, disciple, they ask, "Oh my dear Krishna, the answers which you have given to me about material and spiritual life appear to be equivocal. I do not understand them. Please clear up the subject matter." "Oh Krishna, except for you, there is no one who can clear up my doubt. I have still doubt, but I'm putting it to you. Oh Krishna, I have another doubt. You said that you spoke this knowledge long, long ago to the sun god. But how could you have spoken millions of years, because you and I are contemporaries?" These kind of... he's not making no inquiry, neither is he making blind inquiry. But he's trying to understand. Srila Prabhupada, when he would speak, after he would speak, he would say, "Are there any questions?" And he would, in his merciful carrying out the order of his spiritual master, he was very, very concerned that we actually ask some questions, not just so that he could pass some time, but he would say, "You must ask questions if there are any doubts, so they can be cleared up." He actually wanted, after he's finished speaking, that people be convinced of what he say and understand it. Because by that understanding they can become liberated. Janma karma cha me devyam evam yogati tat tata chapadeham punarjanma naikima miti. If you understand Krishna consciousness, then you don't have to take another birth in this material world. Just by this yoga of hearing, inquiring. "Do you have any questions?" And then do you understand? Is that all right? Do you understand? Because if you don't, then you ask, clear it up. Everything should be cleared up. So this is a necessary inquiry. One can inquire in general meeting, one can inquire in letter, somehow or other. He can inquire also by reading. And then he asks further questions. Tadvidi panipatena paripurishena sevaya upadakshanti te jnanam jnanas chatpadarshan. But another qualification is that at the same time he has to carry out the instructions of the spiritual master. If the inquiry is what is the best path for becoming Krishna conscious, and the spiritual master affirms Guru, Shastra and Sadhu by telling the disciple, "You chant Hare Krishna. This is the best thing. Simply chant Hare Krishna as the best means to realize Krishna and yourself in relation to Krishna." So that answer is an order. not just that he writes it in his book, to become perfect I should chant Hare Krishna, but he has to chant Hare Krishna. There is a heavy responsibility both for the disciple and for the spiritual master. Having asked that question, spiritual master, he's obliged. He has to give the right information in the cyclic succession. He has to guide the disciples back to Godhead. He has a great responsibility. And the disciple, if he asks a question, what is the best religious process, and he's told chant Hare Krishna, then he has suddenly taken a responsibility. For having received the knowledge, he is also indebted to follow the person who gave him that knowledge. There are mutual obligations. The guru, he must save the disciple, but the disciple must follow the instructions which will save him. So that's called Guru Dakshin. Guru Dakshin doesn't mean the money that you collect the day of your initiation. That is also called Guru Dakshin. That is a kind of a token gesture of surrender and humility. By which, unless that is done, the ceremony is not considered complete. But Guru Dakshin has a much far-reaching meaning than that. The Guru Dakshin is not some dollars, it is your whole life. That is the obligation. So one should not enter initiation unless he understands this. That I've been given knowledge which it frees me from darkness. Now I owe a debt. If I've been given such a great thing, then I'm obliged. And what does the spiritual master want me to do? He wants me to become a pure devotee and to become a preacher. Save myself and preach to everyone. Because his mission is to bring everyone back to Godhead. So the Guru Dakshin means the disciple has to help him in that mission. And that automatically saves himself also. So we have the qualification of inquiry. Don't be dull. You have to inquire relevant questions for your own progress. And then you have to follow the order of the spiritual master. This also means, naturally, that you have to have faith in the spiritual master. Otherwise, why inquire or why be so obliged? So in the Vedas it is said that one should not accept a spiritual master unless one is certain, and so one is expected to take time. He may try to consider for a year, and the spiritual master will also consider. Because unless there is faith, then there's no true relationship. And then, as we said, because it is a personal relationship, by the inquiry, by the following of the order, by the faith, one has to actually please the spiritual master. This is also not available directly by studying the book or by trying to please Krishna directly in a personal relationship. But you have to please the representative of Krishna by your behavior. Yasya prasarat, bhagavat prasarat, yasya prasarat, like it's here you told. And this is a necessary qualification that one is pleases the spiritual master. The opposite of that is that he must not offend. The exact opposite, that if he does that, Guru Aparat, then the whole thing is disturbed. And how to go about these things is not so mysterious. Srila Prabhupada used to use the word plain, that you just be a plain and a sincere devotee, render service. The service is standard, but you should not be, when we say plain or standard, we don't mean get by. Like in the college, they have the different grades. So the average student is a C student, C minus student. So there's even a conception that this is best to just be like this. Because then you can have a lot of social life, and not that you have to strive so hard and be very studious, but you just get a nice seat and get by. Oh, well, when we say plain standard, we mean parampara, pleasing the spiritual master, with faith, knowing that if I carry out the orders of the spiritual master, that is pleasing the spiritual master. Inquiry, making standard inquiry, and behavior. But it should not be just ordinary endeavor, but we should put our full endeavor into this and not be distracted by anything else. At least that is the version of Vishwanath Chakrabarti. Srila Prabhupada tells us, for our own edification, that he at one point had a sudden realization of his relationship with his spiritual master when he was reading a commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he read the statement of Vishwanath Chakrabarti that the spiritual master's order should be taken by the disciple as his life and soul. That means not at all like the popular meditation groups, that they have their guru and there are so many activities that are not connected with the order of the spiritual master. But it is a kind of hobby, spiritual recreation. There is a nice statement by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said that he resolves to follow the order of his spiritual master constantly. He said, so at every year, I must, year in, year out, I must think of the order of my spiritual master. And within the year, every month, every day, and within the day, every hour, every moment. And that moment when I am not thinking of the order of my spiritual master, then what is there to think about? I think about just animalistic things. My eating, my sleeping, my bathing. I'm absorbing this body unless I'm absorbing the order of the spiritual master. Take it as the life and soul. It is Krishna's order carried by the spiritual master. spiritual master is carrying the mercy of Krishna. He is putting our attention to Krishna. We should all try to become very qualified disciples. Learning from the great disciples we spoke in the beginning of past history, but we have right now in this time just occurred the example of the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who always considered himself as disciple of his spiritual master. That he followed the orders of his spiritual master, that was his realization of his entire potency. And his potency was so great that he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He used to say, sometimes they say, Swamiji, you have done wonders. You create miracles. Changing these boys and girls from lechers to Vaishnavas. How do you create such miracles? He said, I do not know any miracles. But I have not lied to them. I have not cheated them. But there is no credit of mine. I've only repeated the words of my spiritual master.